Hi, this is Luke.
And this is Tobin from Quest Research.
Hey, Tobin, what do you get when four guys with absolutely no video experience whatsoever decide to produce their own online paranormal TV show?
I don't know. What? Oh, wait. I do know. Ghost Diaries, right?
That's right.
You can check us out and get involved at www.questresearch.net. And the good thing about being new is that we will only get better.
Interested in ghosts, UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
Michigan with the good folks from Ghostly Talk. Ooh, this place is creepy, man, but nowhere near as creepy as Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. It's a haunted drive-in, babies. And you know what we do there? We host classic B-horror and sci-fi movies, just like the ones you grew up with when you was a kid. But it's at Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema right now, hosting on public access TV all over Metro Detroit. But guess what, kiddies? It's coming to you, and all you gotta do is have a computer. Just go to Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. It's nightmarecinema.com. We'll be broadcasting the show real soon, right from the website. Stay tuned. It's Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. Bye. This is Ghostly Talk.
Well, Doug, I see you're busy over there.
Texting away per usual.
I'm texting Bobby T.
I love you, Bobby.
Yes, I'm texting Bobby T because he got home safe and sound.
Tell him I love him.
Bobby was up here shooting us.
Sorry.
Not shooting us, literally.
No, that's dangerous.
That's a bad thing to say.
We in the Detroit area.
Not a good thing to say. Well, we were talking about briefly the last half hour that we were kind of updating all the PR stuff for the show. And one of those is our promo photos. Every year we kind of like to do some promo photos to show you how much we've grown, whether it be...
Width-wise.
thankfully, in my situation, it isn't
that.
I'm going down. Well, thank God. Yeah. But, this year we got... I'm not even going to get into it because we got more important things to discuss.
Yes.
You guys had to wait and see what ridiculousness came out of this.
It was amazing. But right now we have, I hope you have gone to your web browsers and typed in www.heather-rising.com because this is a return guest, of course. Heather's been on the show before, and every single time I think, we just feel so incredible after talking with Heather. And it's, you know, Heather, it's all about you. It's like you just bring the level of everything up into, like, you know, the lofty heavens because you are busy. You are happy, and you are infectious with your great attitude and everything like that. So I want everybody to go to www.heather-rising.com, see what's been going on in her life and what's coming up. And, of course, for the next hour, we're going to get to talk with you about it because you've been busy.
It is so great to see to hear you all.
Thank you.
Well, Heather, you know what? I'm still bummed about this. I got to say, because we were lucky enough to go out to the Cape Cod area last year.
I know, man.
And that was with the Derek Bartlett's group, Capers, out there. And for some reason, they wanted us to come out there and talk to people. Which it turned into an interesting talk. That aside,
we had a great time.
We were going to hang out with you, but you got sick that weekend and couldn't come out. Really? I was still bummed about that. Still,
I was so bummed. So have to make it up to you guys because I was so excited and I wanted to hear you talk and I'm sure you did phenomenally. So, you know.
Well, it turned into it started as a pretty intelligent conversation, and like most things, especially the show, it delved into the realms of just all kinds of goofiness and we had a good time with those guys. Derek, class act, always is great. Good to
and we met some folks from Rhode Island. Yeah, and we got to talk with them even afterwards. Yeah,
George Carlin fans found out.
Yes, it was a great experience out there on the East Coast.
Oh, fantastic. I'm so glad to hear it. You know, that is...
Except for those humongous flies. They have these flies that are called... I think they're even bigger. I think they're more like pteranodon flies or something. Because these things... And they're vicious, and they have blue heads.
They're blue
heads. Wasn't it blue or green heads?
I don't remember. Oh, yes, the green head flies are terrible.
Oh.
some, and I would say if there are, if there's a hybrid of bluehead flies, I don't want to run into them anytime soon.
Well, if they're related to the greenhead flies, I don't want to meet them in a dark alley or a bright sunlit day or anything, because the it was greenheads, I think. They
yes,
were everywhere, and they loved us.
They knew you were from
yes.
out of town.
Yes, and they're like, ooh, fresh meat. And they come and they
totally.
Literally do, like, take chunks of flesh out of you. So that's one of the things I remember, but we stuck
well,
it out and had a great time.
I have to ask you this, though, Heather.
Of course, darling.
We spent a couple days there, right?
And
I can hardly see you being Heather Lambert, this wonderful person we know. I have never seen the most ridiculous driving in my entire life.
Oh, the driving's terrible. Here I am, all of my people listening from Massachusetts. I'm sorry.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, the driving?
Yeah.
The fact that you survived it, you guys, you deserve a medal.
But I can't see you being
driving.
That way.
Driving like that.
I can't see you looking me in the eyes as we're driving along and looking me in the eyes and nearly like waving or flipping me off or doing something and pulling out directly in front of me when I'm 10 foot away from you and not acting like it's anything where I'm back there ripping my hair out.
Oh, I know.
In
Michigan,
right.
It's completely different. If you're going to cut somebody off like that...
You load up.
You load. Yeah, you at least... You at least give them the satisfaction of
a middle finger. Something.
A middle finger.
Yeah,
no,
you don't like
them. To them, you know, like I'm doing this and I'm doing it because I know I'm doing it, and I'm doing it to you because you happen to be in my way. And
that's right.
It's the greatest thing here in Michigan because you just make sure that the other person that you're cutting off, like you are getting in their space, right?
Yeah.
You're the
yes.
one at fault, right? But
right.
you're making sure that they know that you know. That they're doing it.
Yeah.
And but in Massachusetts, it's completely different. They just like, they just cut you right off, and it's like, no problem. And
my question, though, is,
wow.
My question about that is, how does Heather Lambert drive in Massachusetts?
Can I be honest? Like
yeah.
a maniac? It's terrible. Here's the thing. Okay, I'm in New Hampshire now. I will tell you this, just, you know, I'm embarrassed, but why not just admit last week I went to a store in a parking lot that was empty except for one car. I pulled into the parking space beside her, and I hit her car. I'm not kidding you. It was horrible. And you know, and she was inside. You know, I have a big red truck. Because I live in New Hampshire. And when you live in New Hampshire, you drive red trucks.
Wow.
I look ridiculous in it. You know, I'm like this 4'11 girl wearing a sundress in a giant red truck. But anyway, I smacked into this woman's car, and all of these ladies came out. You know, they looked very righteous. So, like, you know, like the church ladies. And they came out and said, "We saw you hit the car. We're witnesses to this terrible accident."
Terrible.
It was horrible. And then the lady herself came out. She was already late for a wedding, 2 hours away for her son who was being deported. It was just...
Oh, my gosh.
It was a disaster. And the police guy came, and this is in New Hampshire. And I'm just trying to... I'm so sorry. I was apologizing profusely, you know, for... And I just... dented her car. It's nothing massive.
Yeah.
But I said, "Oh, where are you from?" And she said, "New Hampshire." And I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Do you drive in Massachusetts?" "Oh, no, they're terrible drivers." And I said, "Yes, we are." That was classic.
I was like, "Oh, that explains it."
It explains it. Oh, it was just insane.
Okay,
so, yeah.
then you fit right in there.
Yes,
and
you must.
Business as usual. Okay. That was one of the things I've been meaning to ask you for a while, because I witnessed this the circus that you call transportation out there.
Well, honey, it was all built on roads that were once cow paths. So you have to understand chaos involved.
Go ahead, Dad.
It's been yeah, literally centuries in the making, and they have perfected it in Massachusetts, I must say.
I'm glad they perfected it.
I kind of want to go there and drive now.
Oh,
no,
Bonnie.
It's horrendous.
Oh, Bonnie.
It's It's
Bonnie, it's definitely an adventure. It's never dull.
Never dull moment.
Oh, no.
No. It is completely different even than Michigan driving. And I thought Michigan driving was just amazing, amazingly bad. But,
yeah, no, that was the worst.
But Massachusetts was...
That was the worst.
You guys
I've
do get
seen.
A medal. You get a medal.
Have any of them ever made you say the Lord's Prayer while driving?
Well, no, it's not that kind of thing. It's not that, like, gee, I hope I make it kind of thing. It's when Bonnie drives, it's the gee, I hope I make it through this trip kind of thing.
Heather, you're working on a book, from what I understand here.
I am working
What's
on a book.
What's going on with this? Tell me about this.
All right. We're doing a book. It's through Schiffer Publishing, which is nice. They do a lot of ghost books.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yes.
They do. And this book is, you know, originally it was going to be just specifically about, you know, my hometown, because Marblehead being right next to, my growing up town, rather, next to Salem is so filled with ghosts. But it's been expanded to be sort of ghosts of the coast, and specifically, you know, old tales from the yachting times. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Old and new. And so I've been collecting. So it's sort of like collecting both the folklore from hundreds of years ago, from stories and traditions passed down from families, you know, that were here since the Mayflower, which is fascinating. And then also gathering stories that are more recent, you know. It's been fascinating. It's fascinating. And what's so cool is stomping over the old grounds that I used to go when I was a child and meeting up with old friends and hearing stories from their grandmothers. It's so cool, you know, the passed down from, you know, you've got a lot of folklore, myths, legend, but also, you know, stories that can be proven today because the hauntings continue.
Mm-hmm.
Residual hauntings and things like that, which, as we know, and in this country, and especially New England area, it's like, you know, it's the haunt capital. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm jealous because that's the kind of thing that I absolutely love to do. One of my favorite things about, because, you know, here at Ghostly Talk, we go to a lot of conventions and things like that. One of my favorite parts is talking to the people and having them tell me stories, because they'll tell me stories about their ghost hunts, but I'll hear there'll be history and lore and things like that mixed in, and it's one of my favorite things is just to sit there and have a good ghost story,
historical
ghost story.
I know, I'm going to be honest about this, you know, lately here with the whole paranormal community, you know, and I'm really pushing to get back to this where we used to be back in the day, Doug, you know, I mean,
me and
you would sit driving a death escort for hours at a time, going from one location to another, just bashing our heads together on all these different topics, right? And unfortunately,
we used to do that a lot.
Yeah, we used to do that an awful lot. And unfortunately, you know, after all these years, it seems like the biggest conversations we have now are, God, what an ass that guy is. <You know? laughs> And things like, you know,
sometimes
it sucks. You know, you want to get back into the stories and stuff like that.
So you've gone exactly where you want to be.
Yeah.
You're sitting down with people and talking and listening and enjoying and getting all the great stories. And you're going to put it together into a book for everybody to enjoy. And I think that's fantastic. Why did you pick a book instead of a movie? Or, I mean, here's the thing. It's like
what about a pilot?
Everybody's making pilots and stuff. Like, the thing is, there's nothing more enjoyable. Now, don't get me wrong. I love sitting down. I love watching the new crop of things in October that's on TV and stuff like that.
It's
one of my favorite things to do. But nothing replaces sitting down after dark in the big comfy easy chair in my living room with just the one light on and a book and either a thing
and
popcorn or a pizza
book.
Or something and a book and getting into that book. Nothing can replace that. Chocolate. But other than that, Indiana wine. But nothing can replace that reading a good book about ghosts. Nothing can replace that. So why did you pick that?
You know, I think it's because I am I read ravenously. I'm, you know, my husband always say he's a, you know, we go to the bookstore and he's like, oh God, look out, because I always, you know, I'm always reading and getting as many books as possible. So I think I share that love that you're speaking of sitting down and reading, and so writing has always been a part of my life since I was a kid. And so what better way to sort of combine all of these loves, you know, and also being able to reach out and, like you said, you know, speak with people and then write. And then hopefully, and that's my utmost wish is to, which, ah, that was a pun. wish is to present something to readers that they'll enjoy, that they'll want to sit down in that big chair and maybe light a candle and shudder at the ghost stories of the coasts of New England.
Well, and you're doing, it sounds like you're basically doing a lot of the work. Obviously, you're going out and getting this information on your own. You're doing interviews.
Yes.
On your own. You're doing all this work on your own, essentially.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's a lot of footwork, and it's a lot of work. I have to admit, it's a labor of love, but I think, you know, it can get frustrating, too. Is sometimes you get writer's block, and you're just trying to, I think I really have to just, sometimes best thing is sort of get the stories, write it out, even if the first draft looks like crap, that's the beauty of revision.
Yeah.
Thank God for revision. So, thank God. So, that's the whole thing, but I love the work, and again, it's just, I want it to be, you know, the beginning of something. I want to continue to write. I mean, just want to get into that writing mode and just continue.
Yeah. Well, no, and the reason I asked that is that there's a lot. I mean, we, especially doing the show, we see a lot of publications coming out, lots of books. Whether they're through publishers or they're self-published, there's a lot more self-publishing going on, which I think is really cool. But I'm seeing I've been seeing a lot of bleed over and stuff like that as far as stories and stuff that's concerned. I know if I ever was going to do a project like that, my number one thing would be to do is just to go out and do all the research on my own, get all the stuff fresh, and essentially have the shortest bibliography of any book ever made. You know, cite yourself, you know. I mean, I did all this work. I'm the one that went out there and got this stuff. I did the interviewing. I did the footwork, like you said. I took my own pictures. I did what I had to do to put together something that people could really read something fresh and new.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. You see? That's awesome. That's awesome. And that's what it's about.
Yeah.
You're right about the short bibliography, too, because again, I know, especially in Salem, the whole area, there's just this plethora of tales being recycled and retold.
Yeah.
So I think the greatest challenge has been, you know, trying to either take a new spin on an old story or hear a new version or again, find something that the families have been not mentioning for hundreds of years and having some descendant say, hey, yeah, I'm going to talk to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you my story and have it be new and fresh.
Well, that's just raising the bar, I think, you know, when you're in publications. Yeah. I mean, especially writing books now, I mean, people have asked me about that in the past, and I say the same thing, like I just said. Go out there and do your own research. Get as much as you can. Stay off the internet as much as possible, okay? That's another one big thing. Stay off the internet as much as possible. There are some tried and true methods out there that still hold, and that is one of them. Individual research, interviewing, doing all your own stuff. You might have to spend some money on gas if you want to write a good book. If that's what you're out to do, that's what you're going to have to do. Let's be frank. I've seen some things. We've experienced some things here, okay, that have been, we've been like, wow, I know where that came from, you know.
Woo!
Not bashing on people like that, but, you know, it's like, it's really cool to see you're doing that, you're approaching it from that standpoint.
And plus, I think it would be a great idea when it comes out to have a Ghosts of the Coast, like, publication party. And I know that Bonnie
invite Ghostly Talk.
Yeah. No, I think we should have it. I think we should just have it.
Have it here?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm down.
We would
so love it, because I want to come see you guys. I'll make a road trip. Hello.
I think you would love Michigan.
I know. Well, my father went to UMichigan.
That's right.
That's right. So, I mean, he absolutely, and so I would love to come out there.
I think we need to have a
well, you wouldn't have any problem with driving. I know that.
No, no, you'd be at home.
You wouldn't be at home. She'd run this joint.
Yeah,
she'd be the mayor of Detroit because she'd take over the city.
Apparently, it doesn't take much to get that job.
Well,
anyway,
well, that's true.
You know, we should. You would probably do a much better job, Heather. If we had everybody be in a way better mood if we had Heather Lambert running this city than the other people we've had here. I'm not going to get into that, but I think we're onto something here.
I think so.
Yeah.
I am. That is too kind. That really is. That's awesome.
Well,
I'll run it.
But I'm glad that you picked a book medium to convey your stories in, because that is
Thank
one of my
you.
Favorites. Wow. Especially if it's coming out in the fall, that's the best time to sit there in the dark with just one light bulb on, you know, and something around you to munch on and all coming
and I
up.
Miss those days.
Miss those days. This is the modern era. And everybody wants to pop in a DVD, get your thing over with in a half hour or an hour. And then you're on to something else, I guess.
Whoops, what page was I on? Oops.
Oh, I love that.
What was I? Who am I?
Yeah.
I think, too, again, not to totally diss modern technology, but I think, for instance, when they talk about those electronic books, I'm sorry, there's nothing better than holding an actual book in your hand.
I agree.
Yeah, and that's what my girlfriend says, too, because she is the book hound.
Yeah,
she works at a library, so it's like she is a book hound. It's her thing, and we've discussed that. And I tend to, like my studies I'm doing right now, as you know, Doug. I mean, I'm doing it all off the laptop. I mean, I'm on there and I'm reading literally off the manuals on the laptop. Amber's like, I can't do that. I have to hold a book in my hand. I have to have something there. There's just nothing like the activity of that, to hold the book and read it. It's different on a laptop. Yeah, I can understand that. It's a wholly different.
Right. Well, they have these new things that Heather was saying, and it's true. They've got these new things that you download the book into it, and it's just like a thin little screen kind of thing. And then you can pay less for the book. You're not, there's no, it's eco-friendly other than, other than all the chemicals and stuff used to make it and the energy and stuff to melt the, that probably kills a forest or two just doing that. But once it's created, it's eco-friendly. And then you download it in there and then you just tap on it and stuff to turn the page. I don't know if I could get into that. Can you sit there literally with a single light bulb on and a bowl of popcorn?
Well, Doug, you would never tap it anyways because you read one book or one page and fall asleep.
Well, now that is true. That's one of my favorite parts of reading a book is that I nap in between.
For somebody that sucks down as much caffeine as you do.
A book to Doug is like the ultimate sleep medication. I loaned him a book 4 years ago that he still has.
I think I found... You mean the John Zaffis book?
Yeah.
I found it when I moved, but I've lost it again, so I have to re-find it.
Oh, my God, I have to get that. Dude, my God, I've been meaning to get his
book.
Oh,
I love that book. Well, parts of it.
He's awesome.
the part that I didn't, I'd read it.
Drool all over and it's all
sleep,
blurred out
and
now.
I'd, yeah.
I'm so glad I had him autograph it for me so that you could own it.
Isn't that nice? I've lent out, autographed a book that I took pains to, go to the book signing, 5 hours away, and then I lend it to a friend, and I'm like, oh, could I have that back? Oh, I'm sorry, I think I lost that
right.
book.
Exactly. And I love my books. I don't care if I've read it, 42 times. I will pick it up and read it again.
Yeah.
Oh, me too. Me too. It's the same thing. I mean, it's so true about the whole,
Just holding
the thing about books. And I agree. I really applaud you for doing the book thing.
Thank you so much.
We're going to do a little break. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about one of my
favorite... Let's get some more stuff done, because we've been telling Heather how great she is. And
I know.
I mean every time.
But I actually want you, Heather, to tell us about something that you've been doing and something that you're continuing to do that is near and dear to my heart. And that is, you're going off and doing stuff at Lilydale,
yes.
New York. I love everything spiritualism. I love everything. You know, there's very few of these spiritualist camps left. I want to know everything about it, but we have to do that after this break.
Paranormal news here with Bonnie Vent.
Yeah, because we want everyone to get up on the latest paranormal news with Bonnie Vent. So they're going to get on that, and then I want everyone to load up www.heather-rising.com to see what's been going on in Heather's life and what's coming up. We're going to talk about Lilydale coming up after
Woo-hoo!
The news.
Ghostly Talk!
I'm Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal. Ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs, and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 AM. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
Wow, I keep shaking this ball, and all I get is the number 8. Where's the snow? I told my psychic I wanted to know if I was going to win the lottery, and she asked me for the numbers. The death card keeps showing up in this deck. Maybe I should get a reflector on my scooter. I keep dreaming about frogs leaping into my bed. This book says I'm just horny. Having a bad day at the Wheel of Fortune? Karma Cast has answers. Check out karmakast.com for show listings and time. KarmaCast.com is a division of Mayhem Media.
Welcome to Paranormal Headline News, produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. I'm your host, Bonnie Vent. This is Bonnie Vent. Do you need a celebrity to promote your product or service? Planning a big event and want that little extra star power? Want to have lunch or dinner with the cast of Leave It to Beaver? Or dinner and a concert with Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits? Then go to Genesis Creations Entertainment at www.genesiscreations.biz and book a celebrity today. Be careful what you say on your websites about alleged haunted property. Here's a lesson learned. Staley Mills owner, who claimed false tales about the historic property being haunted, turned her life into a nightmare, and she has received a judgment of more than $125,000 against a Columbus website owner. Melissa Dewar also was granted her request for a court order against Columbus resident Andrew Henderson's use of the Staley tale on the ForgottenOhio.com website or any other site. She is a descendant of Eli Staley, who built the Staley Mill, the oldest standing grist mill in the state. Dewar claims stories published about the mill, the Staley family, and their history dating to the 1820s have attracted countless ghost hunters and the curious. That activity forced her and her husband to spend thousands of dollars on security measures at the mill. Evidence in the court record did not show actual malice on the part of Henderson. Because Henderson did not respond to the suit, it was appropriate legally to grant Dewar's request for damages. The damages claimed include $1,900 for an invisible fence, $1,700 for private security, $27,000 for diminished value of the property for rumors it's haunted, $57,000 in legal fees, $6,300 in litigation expenses, and $35,000 for a specially trained dog. Good news on the new Ghostbusters 3 movie. Sigourney Weaver will appear in Ghostbusters 3. Her co-star in the franchise, Dan Aykroyd, insists that despite her refusal to lend her voice to the recent spin-off video game, the alien actress will be in the new movie. Dan Aykroyd, who co-wrote and starred in the original 80s comedy, also confirmed the new movie will feature a new set of ghost hunters. He added, "There will be a whole new generation that has to be trained, and that whole new generation will be led by an individual who you'll all love when you meet him, but I'm not going to tell you anything yet." There'll be lots of cadets, boys and girls, who learned how to use the cyclotron, the accelerators, and all the new stuff. The neuron splitter, which is going to be the interplanar, interceptor, and all these great tools that they're going to have to flip from one dimension to another. For more information on these stories, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and the Paranormal News feed page. Don't forget, sign up for a free subscription to Paranormal News. Thanks for joining us today on Paranormal News. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on Paranormal News, please send us an email at parax.news@aol.com. Or join us at paranormalnews.mypodcast.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Bonnie Vent.
This is an EVP. This is an EVP. These were recorded by the Long Island Ghost Hunting Team. Light. To hear more, come listen to Light Paranormal Radio. Go to lightparanormal.com and subscribe to us in iTunes.
What was that?
That was me.
No, I heard a woman's voice.
You heard a woman's voice?
Yeah.
What is that?
Sound like hello.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
Chat room picked up here.
Yay. I
want to say hi to all the cool people in the chat room that are hanging out. Welcome. This is kind of our first official week, I guess, in this new chat. I mean, we've had a couple of trial... No, I guess I'm wrong. We've had a couple of trial runs or whatnot.
Yeah.
But our friends over at Supernatural Radio Network are providing us with a wonderful chat room now, so thanks to Ruff and Pete.
Woo!
And all of our buddies over there that are hooking us up and keeping things taken care of. Thank you very much. Thanks for all you guys hanging out there and keeping Bonnie busy and keeping my mother busy over there, too. She's been going back and forth, so yeah, great, cool. Now,
Doug,
we were talking with Heather Lambert, and we had a very productive break of discussing some cool things. We're not telling you about it, though, right, Heather? It's between us. It's a big secret, but it's going to be totally awesome. And I'm really psyched about it. Doug, you are, but you're taking the floor on this.
Here's the thing. There's three spiritualism camps that I know of, or spiritualist camps left in the United States. And this is a big part of paranormal history, you know. I mean, before the second half of the 1800s, the Fox sisters, essentially started the spiritualist movement, and it took off worldwide. It was just absolutely amazing. And what happens is there would be these camps, and some of them would be seasonal, and some of them would be year round, and they would it would be meeting places for like minded people from all over to go to and study and be amongst friends and talk. I mean, it's a lot like now. You've got different places in the internet that people end up hanging out in and enjoying each other in and talking amongst themselves. Well, they used to have to actually physically go to places because there wasn't an internet. And they had, for example, I went to Camp Chesterfield down in Indiana. Mm. I know that there's Lilydale in New York, and there's, what's the one in Florida?
Casadega.
Yes, Casadega in Florida. So those are the ones that I know of that are left. And I thought that as historical as that is, paranormally and supernaturally and mystically and spiritually, because that's what it was. It was the spiritualist movement. It was about, we believe that we can talk to the dead. That's the cornerstone It's a very, very important historical thing for all of ghost hunters to be in tune with and to know about.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Evidently, Heather, you've been spending some time down at Lilydale.
Yes.
One of the three remaining camps that I know about.
Yes.
What's it like? Tell me, what are you learning? What are you doing? Who are the people there? What are they like? Everything. Start at the beginning.
It's amazing. It's amazing. The program, and technically, the school I'm in, it's a 2-year program. It's Fellowships of the Spirit, which is right outside literally the gates of Lilydale, but I stay in Lilydale when I'm doing my coursework, and I've spent a lot of time, obviously, in Lilydale. It's healing and prophecy, so it concentrates on honing mediumship skills to a level of intensity so that you really become proficient. And boy, it's intense. It's intense. The experiences are amazing. It's like, you know, it's boot camp for mediums. And it's been life altering because if, you know, any last bone of skepticism or cynicism about these things I had, I don't anymore. what I've experienced there and what everyone in my classmates, it's compelling. There's no question in my mind that we can, you know, be in communication with those that are passed on. And so that's what it's been. It's been, I did it last year. I took a break. I'm going back in the fall, but I'll probably go in the summer as well. And it's been incredible.
How much interest is there in the people that you meet, the people that you talk to, the people that are going there, the people who recognize the name? How much interest is there left? Because this is literally like one of the last vestiges of the spiritualist movement.
Yes.
And so with that and the economy and, you know, and people in their day-to-day lives, you know, all I've got to do is do my taxes for 5 days, and I got to go to work, and I got to, you know, get some food, and I have this and that. You know, how much
it's interest... It's my life. Wait a minute.
Yeah, pretty much. Mine, too.
God, it sucks.
I hear you.
Like,
excellent question. Excellent question.
Cool.
The interest is phenomenal. And I would, you know, in speaking with, you know, sort of, I call a mentor... mediums, the ones that have been doing this for much longer than I have. If anything, in this economy, their business is booming because of the uncertainty and people not only wanting to connect with, you know, dead relatives, but also to get some psychic counseling. You see how it's, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting. And so, and the interest itself, I think, every summer, Lilydale gets flocked by tens of thousands of people that come there. It's absolutely crowded as can be in the summertime. It's unbelievable. It is alive and kicking.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. And if you think about it, too, you know, as mainstream culture, you know, pop culture, television, you know, mediumship and ghosts, it's everywhere. So people are, I think, if anything, people are more and more attracted to spiritual camps like Lilydale because of their historical significance, like you so eloquently put it, and also wanting to have a spiritual element in their lives, especially during a time now where there's a lot of chaos, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know,
one thing I want to ask about that, because we've heard a lot of, this is something I think it's very real and it's going on right now. I mean, there's a lot of real world problems that all of us as people are dealing with.
Yeah.
And I think, and as a result, it's true. It's going on. People are turning towards more of a spiritual lifestyle because they want to get answers. They may not be always the right, they may not always have the right reasons to turn towards that, but in any crisis, a lot of people turn towards things like religion or spiritual type things like that.
Of course.
In your opinion, though, do you think it's, I mean, how do I phrase this question? I mean, I would like to see people turning towards this thing for the right reasons, obviously, but I don't want them to lose focus, thinking, okay, well, now that I'm, you know, that I believe in this thing and I can, you know, I have this spiritualism about me or whatever it may be, right? I can just let everything go to crap because everything's gonna be fine as a result of what I'm doing now.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, I don't want to
totally. You know, I think that's, you know, it's funny because
it has to be a healthy mix of the two, I think. I mean,
there has to be a balance. In fact, you know, one thing that I've noticed in studying in Lilydale, when you go through those gates in Lilydale, you feel kind of airy. I feel dizzy. It's almost like the vibrations are so high there. It's very important to ground. And I think, in general, in life, you're right, because, I mean, there are concrete issues people are having. There has to be a balance. It can't be used as a form of escapism. It has to be a way of enhancing your life, not escaping it.
Do you
see what I mean?
And there it is. Okay, that's what I was not looking for. But that's what I think that's what it's all about is, to enhance. Not to, you know, because if that's the case, you might as well just go down to the bar and stay there. Let's be frank.
Exactly.
If you want escapism, you can get that on the corner.
Yeah.
Right. You can get that everywhere. And you know, again, and also, I mean, it's interesting, too, as far as, like, code of ethics, you know, how we're being trained. You know, some people are medium junkies. They'll go from one to another, and they're spending a lot of their money. And if a medium is ethical, they'll say, hey, you know what, I'm not going to see you anymore. Come to me in 6 months or a year, but if you keep calling every week, I'm not going to take your money because I think that you're trying to, you know what I mean?
And
there are a lot, especially now, you know, there are people out there that are scammers, no question. But what I like about Lilydale and the people, you know, who I have met, and by this time having been there going back and forth for a couple of years now, is the integrity of these people that say, you know, if you get a reading, you know, after this reading, don't come back to me for a good few months. They said, you know, they set a limit.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise there can be the dependency. You can become codependent on mediumship. You can become codependent on messages from beyond the grave when you need to be concentrating on your own work or something, yourself.
Like you just said, enhance your life, not escape it. That was my whole thing, is that I hate to see people, you know, dive into something like that and then, you know, they come out of that and their life is even worse off as a result. That's not a positive output of anything. You don't want to deal with that. So, you know, enhance. I think that's what I was looking for, and I hope
that's
people
it.
Take that to heart.
And I think it's important. I think nothing freaks me out and makes me think and makes me know that I'm on the right track as much as a decent reading, a discussion with a psychic or psychic medium that makes me really, really think, like, wow, how did they know that? There's something going on that I can't see, touch, feel, or hear. And I really dig it. I'm on the right path. And I really like that. I love that feeling. But, yeah, I can see where it can become kind of addictive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you want that more and more and more. But then it becomes, you know, it starts to alter the rest of your life, you know, in a negative way. And it's supposed to be positive.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, I think it goes back to what is the Oracle Delphi that says, everything in moderation. And I think, and that's what we've learned as well. I mean, when I first started going, you know, studying at the school, I think I had, you get, it's the high. I call it the Lilydale high when you're there. Oh, my God, everything's fabulous. Everything's coming up roses, you know, and it's awesome. It's true. But then, you know, you do have to return, if you don't live in Lilydale, but you have, even they have to deal with the practicalities of eating and breathing and living because they're still of the living.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So even, I would even say after some of those weekends, the intensives, I come home and I'd sort of have almost a crash. Because it's a crash back into reality, And it took a while to balance and to learn how to ground. You know, literally, and one of the easiest things is just to take a walk barefoot, well, when it's summer out up here, and you know what I mean? Yeah, otherwise, freeze your feet off. But, you know, but to literally, you know, walk on the earth, as simple as that, and exercise and move your body. You know, so there's so much, as much as I'm learning, I realize there's so much to learn. It's a never-ending process.
Do you well, go ahead, Doug.
I wanted to know a little of the history of Lilydale. Did you pick up any of that while you were there? Was there, you know, is it one of the first ones or one of the later ones that just has hung on? Is it because it's in a really special, maybe a place of power? Or, like, what started it and why is it still here? One of three that I know of that are left. It just...
Incredible.
That's an amazing accomplishment. What attributed to that?
A lot of it, you know, historically, and with what I know of teachers and people I've spoken to, they've reinforced is that the location, you know, we talk about vortexes. I think we talked about that last time I was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it definitely, geographically, is one of those sort of like, you know, how Sedona with a vortex.
Right.
It is a vortex of activity, and it seems to hold and message out spirit incredibly. It's like amplifies it. I mean, you just walk around there, you can feel it. And that has been, you know, historically up to the present, people have been experiencing that. Another thing, too, is that, you know, it's not far from Niagara Falls, which is, you know, you think about the power and force and energy. And they speak about how that has something to do with it, too, that energy from Niagara Falls.
Yeah,
it's got something. There's some mojo going on in Lilydale. You can feel it. It's palpable. And that's why people keep returning. Think about other pilgrimage sites of any type, you know, religion, spirituality, whatever. These places that civilization after civilization seem to revisit.
Well, and I think bodies of water, that's come up a lot on this show here in the past, too. Those, you know, obviously with dowsing rods and things like that and history of those things.
And water is necessary for life. I mean, it's one of the basic building blocks of life.
Well, yeah.
And it is a huge part of your body.
One of the things that amazes me about water, and this is just...
And it's also symbolic.
Well, the power of water. I mean, if you...
Power of water.
Some people don't realize that you go to some of these, like, you know, national parks and whatnot, and these rivers and stuff like that, you'll see these rocks that have, like, paths in them and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't because I came over there and decided to rip through them or something like that. That's because of about probably a couple million years of water running through there, just slowly beating it down, slowly, slowly. And that's a powerful thing when you think about that, that it can do something so and make it so beautiful, you know, a lot of these rock formations.
Right.
That's
one
example. So as far as Lilydale is concerned, I mean, that it's a very likely thing to see that, you know, Niagara Falls could be the power center or one of the power centers for Lilydale to have that feeling that you're talking about, Heather.
Absolutely. And also, you know, Lilydale is situated on Casadega Lake, you know, so you've got a body of water right there.
Uh-huh.
You have, you know, you have a lakeside community, which would attract, because it's also, you know, beautiful there, too. So aesthetically, it's very pleasing. So you have this combination of elements that really keep it going. And also to mention, of course, the Native American influence as well. I've got to find out specifically, I have to study it more, which tribes and which tribes were there and are there presently in the vicinity, but that has a lot to do with it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sacred, hallowed ground of the Native Americans.
So there's obviously a lot going on there.
Yeah. If you think about it, it really is. It's just, it all converges at this, you know, one place and in the vicinity as well, and it's extraordinarily powerful.
Go ahead.
You can feel it.
I can see why you were drawn to it, why you keep returning and are doing your studies there, because that, I mean, that's a lot of, direction and a lot of history and a lot of belief and a lot of power. And I it's the kind of thing that really, really intrigues me, which is one of the reasons, Bonnie, that you and I ended up at
Camp Chesterfield
that one time. It's just the history. Just everything about it is just intriguing, you know. And of course, we didn't go on the greatest of weekends. It was not quite summer or spring, and it was like the end of winter.
It was Easter weekend.
Yeah, it was, but it hadn't like kicked off for the summer. It was like pretty,
yeah.
There wasn't much going on, but we had a great time in the bookstore there, and it was just really fun. And I'd love to get to Lilydale sometime and see what it feels like to walk the grounds and the area of Lilydale and see this place for myself. It's one of the things that I have on my list.
Oh, you've got to do it.
Absolutely.
Well, one of the things that, you know, we're talking about Lilydale and stuff like that, and spiritualism and the spiritualist movement and whatnot. One thing I've been hearing from people about the present state of things, you know, the way that, you know, with the whole paranormal community in general right now.
Yeah.
I've heard from some people that we are going through another spiritualist movement as we speak. It's different now, mm-hmm. but we're going through something very similar, if not the same thing. What are your thoughts on that, Heather?
I would agree.
I would agree.
Yeah, I believe it's interesting because it's been brought up at you know, in our studies there at Lilydale, too. There's a paradigm shift going on. There's a change. Yeah, it is. We are. We're in the midst of something right now.
And the number one dumb question of the night, do you think that has something to do with 2012? Does that have something to do with 2012, Heather?
2012? I know everyone talks about 2012.
Yeah. No, I mean, I guess it's a good question. I mean, we've been hearing more and more, obviously, from people going, all right, all this crazy stuff, you know, the TV stuff.
November 21st, 2012.
Yeah.
2012, the Mayan calendar.
Yeah.
I believe there's truth to it only because when, you know, I've been reading, and this has been interesting, I've been reading a lot of books lately, indigenous cultures. I'm very interested, especially in elders from different ethnicities all over the world. And it's a wonderful book about grandmothers of the world. This is a fantastic book. I'll have to get the specifics on it. And in each culture, from Tibet to down in South America, all of these women converged with the same idea that, yes, this is a time of transition that is, kind of hovering around 2012. That, you know, many believe, too, and I think I tend to believe it as well. Mm-hmm. There's an evolution going on, and, you know, and with an evolution, there's always growing pains.
Oh, yeah.
And
there's been, since the beginning of this year, there has been a lot of intense discussion on the media stuff involved with paranormal and some of the things that, you know, involved around that we deal with and whatnot. But one of the ideas that keeps coming up is maybe the reason that there is all of this stuff going on right now, and there's all these shows on, and there's lots of different radio shows and podcasts, whatever may be out there, all forms of media around the paranormal, is because maybe we are preparing or being prepared for 2012, or a great shift in consciousness, or our attitudes in general, and I think that's really cool. Then,
I think it's extremely cool. I think if you think about all of, you know, I know economically we're sort of in a heap of disaster right now in a lot of ways. However, you know, on a positive note, there's some, you know, a whole bunch of different things that probably need to be eradicated in order that something new and more positive and more helpful takes place.
Yeah.
And it's just the transition time is a pain in the neck. It's tough.
I think definitely with just the economy alone right now, it's making a lot of people reevaluate their lives. Their past lives. Now, I don't mean that in a spiritual sense, but their lives before, you know, all hell broke loose. And I think that may be one of the changes we're going through. And it's something really interesting to think about. And I think if that is the case, then we're on the right track. I hope.
I think
Well, my opinion doesn't mean much in whatever. Unfortunately, we, like I thought was going to happen here. I don't know why we give Heather just an hour here. We need to give her like a show.
Oh, you guys.
This is dumb. I don't know why we don't just give you like 2 hours. Next time we have you on, we're just going to do a 2-hour jam session with you, and that's it. We're just going to do that. So, unfortunately, yeah, we are at the top of the hour. Heather, hang on the line. Don't leave just yet. Okay.
Thanks so much.
And I want everybody to bookmark www.heather-rising.com. Of course, that's linked up at ghostlytalk.com and has been for a long, long time.
Oh,
will
God.
Be forever and ever.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Heather,
thank you.
We can't thank you enough for joining us. Don't leave us just yet, though. We got to harp with you on the break here, too. So.
Right. Yes,
you got it.
And coming up next on Ghostly Talk, of course, we're going to have Link Alexander. We're going to talk about,
this is
a very interesting topic. It's kind of UFO and alien and kind of paranormal and kind of, it's just going to be really, really interesting. And that's coming next.
Hell, maybe we'll just let Heather hang out with us, too.
I wish we could.
We'll find out about that on the break. Guys, we got to go to break. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Buddy.
We'll be right back after this.
For more info, visit ghostlytalk.com.